manifestations of Krishna's causeless mercy, who have personified within our Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, and to all of the assembled devotees. Today we will make our insignificant and quite feeble attempt to continue this most glorious narration, which was composed by Srila Sanatana Goswami for the ultimate welfare of all living beings, Sri Brihad Bhagavatam Rita. Yesterday, Narada Muni had just visited the Brahman of Prayag, the king of the southern country of India, and then Indra. Each one of these three great personalities was utterly disheartened to hear themselves praised. They wanted to give all glorification from the core of their hearts to other Vaishnavas. This is the test by which we could calculate how we are making spiritual progress. Spiritual advancement is not necessarily seen by our knowledge, by our position, by our powers, but how much we are developing the sweet mood of a humble Vaishnava. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amani namanadena kirtaniya sadhara. To be eager to offer all glories and respect to others. In material society, if someone is better than us, the tendency is to be envious. But in Krishna consciousness, when we see someone receiving the mercy of the Lord, we want to worship that person, honor them, and glorify them. An honor and glorification to ourself is something that is very bitter to the heart. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared this pratishtha, this tendency to be too much inclined toward being honored, as the basis of material disease. In fact, this pratishtha, the attachment to honor, for a Vaishnava, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, he sees praise and glorification like the dung of a boar. Now, there's all kinds of dung or stool. We can speak the whole class about different types of stool. But prasad is coming and we want to try to increase your appetite rather than decrease. So to be brief, cow dung is very pure. We bathe the deity with it. It's antiseptic. I remember one time at New Vrindavan, one big leader of our society got stung by a wasp. Wasp is a type of bee. And at the same time, one very nice devotee, his son, little child, got stung by
the same exact type of wasp in the same place at the same time.
So they came to me and said, "What medicine do you have for wasp stings?" I said, "There's only one medicine at New Vrindavan, cow dung. There is no other medicine. We use it for everything, and it works." So the Grihastha put the cow dung on his son's wasp sting. And the sannyasi, he said, "You expect me to put cow dung on an infected sore?" So he took his car, he borrowed a car and went all the way to town to get allopathic antiseptic ointment. This is a true story. I would not speak it in front of the deities unless it was true. The next day, the little boy's bee sting, after they wiped off the cow dung, it totally disappeared. Because that Grihastha father had faith. But the sannyasi, it was swollen so big he couldn't even come to Mangalarti. And it lasted for days. So cow dung is very pure. But other types of dung are not so pure. But the most abominable of all dung is pig dung. Why? Because pigs eat anything and everything. They eat all types. Pigs eat stool. So their dung is just stool that has been regenerated into stool. At least your stool is prasad generated into stool. But the most abominable of all pigs is the boar. Because they're uncivilized pigs. They're dangerous pigs. They not only eat stool, but they'll kill for it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very graphic when he wants to make a point that the prestige of this world is more abominable than the stool or the dung of a wild boar. Srila Saraswati Thakur ki. That is Vaishnava. But yet, our whole life, we are chasing after this boar dung. We'll do anything for it. But we see the mood of the Vaishnavas. When you give praise to others, it is like nectar to the soul. When you take it for yourself, it is like boar dung. So Indra, in his devotional mood, he could not accept any glorification. He only found faults in himself. But he redirected Narada Muni, deflected all the praise to Lord Brahma. Sri Narada Muni then traveled to Brahmaloka, the topmost planet within this material universe. When he was arriving, he heard these loud, huge sounds of thousands and thousands and thousands of qualified Brahmins singing Vedic hymns. He saw the most opulent, ornate Yajnashala. Can you imagine the Yajnas in Brahmaloka? And everyone was standing with such reverence and devotion as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of the Mahapurusha was accepting the offerings. It is described in the scriptures that in the Satya Yuga, at the very beginning of the age, the Mahapurusha, he is the one that
inaugurated the practice of yajna. And since that time, he resides in Brahma's abode, where he has his own little Vaikuntha area within Brahmaloka. Mahapurusha has 1,000 faces. Narada Muni saw with 1,000 hands putting all the offerings into his 1,000 mouths. People may ask, is this possible? If Krishna can create you with one head and one mouth, then he could expand himself with as many mouths and heads as he wants. There's no question of even asking, is this possible for God who has Achintya Shakti? Inconceivable, unlimited potencies. And just like a great person does great things. So Krishna is going to do the greatest things in all of his various avatars. After accepting the offerings, the Mahapurusha gave his, he was sitting with his consort, gave his benedictions to Brahma and all of the devatas that were assembled there. Then he went to sleep. It is described in the Puranas that in Brahmaloka, the Mahapurusha has two special functions, eating and sleeping. He eats the offerings, then he goes to sleep. And when it's time for the next yajna, he wakes up and eats the offering and goes to sleep. But the difference is he doesn't eat and sleep like us. When he's sleeping, he could be conducting the affairs of the whole universal creation. When you're sleeping, you're simply in ignorance. After Mahapurusha was resting, Lord Brahma was sitting on his throne. He was hearing his devotees chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. And he himself was reciting the glories of Krishna. He was weeping and weeping and weeping. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord brought upon such ecstasy in his heart that he could not control his emotions. At that time, Narada Muni approached him. He offered his most respectful prostrated obeisances, dandavats. Then Narada Muni began to play his veena, and with a very, very enthusiastic voice, endowed with love from his heart, he began to cry out, "You are the receiver of the greatest mercy of the Lord. You are the most dear of all devotees to the Lord. You are the grandfather of all living beings. You are the creator of the entire universe. You are the master of all the masters of the universe. You are self-born from a lotus flower that sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. From your four mouths, the Vedas are manifested to the world. Your planet is such a transcendental place that Lord Narayan has established his Vaikuntha abode right here. In order to attain your planet, one must perfectly follow the Varnashram system for 1,000 births with no sins and no false pride. You are the dearmost devotee of the Lord. In fact, Krishna himself appears in you." Brahma, upon hearing this, became very much disturbed. He covered his 8 ears, and again he cried out, "I am only a servant. I am just a servant. I am just a servant." Brahma was angry.
He tried to control his anger, but still he had to speak what is in his mind. He said to Narada, "I am not Krishna. On what authority do you speak this? Don't you remember? I've been preaching to you against this bogus Mayavadi philosophy since you've been a little boy. Why you speak these things? I am just the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. The maidservant of Krishna in this external material world is Mahamaya. All of us are deluded by this Mahamaya. It is she, through the display of the three modes of material nature, that creates, maintains, and destroys the entire universe. Myself, I am simply a conditioned soul bewildered by the powers of Mahamaya. I have not received even a trace of Krishna's mercy. If I was a recipient of Krishna's mercy, then why has Maya deluded me by false pride? I am proud that I am the guru of the whole universe. I am proud that I have created all the different phenomena within this universe. I am so proud that I alone have taken birth from the very navel of the Lord of the universe, Sri Krishna. I am very proud that I am the author of the Vedas. You say that the Lord accepts my offerings, but actually, Lord Narayan, he accepts the offerings only to promote the importance of Vedic sacrifice. He doesn't accept it because of me. Sanatana Goswami brings out a question. If Mahapurusha, Lord Narayan, is living on the planet of Brahmaloka, then why does Lord Brahma go to Svetadvip to pray for the Lord to appear? According to Harivamsa, in some days of Brahma, the Lord actually prays for Krishna's appearance right at Brahmaloka. But in this particular day of Brahma, he went to Svetadvip. The reason is, Sanatana Goswami gives two alternatives. One, that the Mahapurusha was sleeping at the time when Bhumi and the day of demigods approached him, and he did not want to wake the Mahapurusha. So he went to Svetadvip, where Shirodakshai Vishnu was residing. And the other explanation is Lord Brahma didn't want Mahapurusha to leave Brahmaloka to descend on earth. He would rather have the Vishnu of Svetadvip leave Svetadvip to descend on earth. So Brahma continued. He said that the Lord loves his devotees. He bestows unlimited mercy upon his devotees. But I am not a devotee. Therefore, he gives no mercy to me. But still, if you think that he has given me so much mercy, if you think that I'm so dear to him, then why have I created so many offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord? I gave benedictions to Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha took those benedictions from me and became so powerful, he tormented the entire society within the universe. He killed Brahmins. He killed cows. He drank blood. He ate flesh. He created havoc. The Supreme Lord had to appear as Varahadev just to kill this wicked-hearted, cruel Rakshasa demon. And his brother, Hiranyakashipu. Did I learn my lesson? No. I gave him benedictions. Even though I knew as a fact what kind of a terrible, uncivilized creature he was. I gave him the benedictions. You cannot be killed in the day or the night, in the land, in the sky, or in the water, inside or outside, by any human being, by any demigod, by any Gandharva, by any Apsara, by any Rakshasa, by any Vidyadhara. I gave him the benediction that he could not be killed practically by any means. Now, what did he do with all these powers? He used them all not only to murder and to kill, but to create offenses against a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. That is my devotion to the Lord. I give benedictions that result in Vaishnav aparad. And then Lord Narasimhadev appeared and tore him to pieces. Myself, along with Shiva, Lakshmi, Garuda, and so many other devotees, demigods, we all approached him and offered very excellent prayers. But Narasimhadev was so angry. He didn't even look at us, not even a single glance. He was disgusted with me. It was Prahlad who pacified him. After Prahlad Maharaj sat on his lap, I very slowly and fearfully approached the Lord. And then in anger and disgust, he looked at me. And he said, "Do not give such benedictions to demons, O lotus-born one." Just as you should not feed milk to a serpent, you should not give benedictions to those who are wicked in heart. But still, after that, I gave the same kind of benedictions to Ravana and to so many other demons. And you say that I am the recipient of the mercy of the Lord? That I am the dearmost devotee of the Lord? Please reconsider your foolish, crazy statements. Do you remember, my dear Narada, all of the offenses that the different demigods committed to Krishna after I appointed them to their posts and gave them their powers? Indra, appointed by me, due to his excessive pride, when he saw Krishna worshiping Govardhan Hill, he tried to destroy Krishna and all of his Brijabasis by sending torrents and torrents and torrents of rain. Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. When he came to the heavenly planets, along with Satyabhama, to take the Parijata tree, my appointed representative, Indra, he should have said, "Please, take it. It's yours, my Lord." But what did he do? He challenged the Lord to battle. And then there's Varuna. Nanda Maharaj, he performed his fast on Ekadasi. And on the morning of Dwadasi, he went to take his bath in Jamuna. that time. He entered the water at an inauspicious time, before it became light. But Jiva Goswami explains that that was the proper time to break Ekadasi. If he did it any later, he would have spoiled his Ekadasi. So that's the nature of the world. Whatever you do, something inauspicious is tinged with it. The only auspicious situation in this world is where the devotees are gathered together to chant the holy. A demoniac, foolish representative of Varuna captured, under arrest, Nanda Maharaj, father of Krishna. Meanwhile, the Brijabhasis were on the bank of Jamuna looking everywhere for Nanda Maharaj. They were weeping and crying, "Where is he? Where has he gone? We went into the Jamuna with him. He's disappeared." Krishna understood what had happened. So he personally entered into Jamuna and went directly to the kingdom of Varuna. Meanwhile, the gopis of Vrindavan, seeing Krishna enter into the water and not return, they were overwhelmed in the ecstasies of the pains of separation. They were falling unconscious, praying, "When will Krishna return? Has he left us forever?" When Krishna arrived at Varuna's capital, Varuna stood up. He offered worship to Krishna. He washed the feet of the Lord, offered him arti, argya, and all sorts of beautiful prayers. He said, "My Lord, now my body has become perfect. It has fulfilled its purpose. My life has achieved its ultimate goal because today I have had your darshan and I have surrendered my life at your lotus feet. Please, please forgive me because I am responsible for this foolishness of the ignorant servant that stole your worshipable father. Here he is. Please take him home." Krishna took Nanda Maharaj back to Vrindavan. And Nanda Maharaj was telling all the Vrijavasis, "Do you know what I saw? Such an opulent kingdom of Varuna. And yet he worshipped our little cowherd boy Gopal. He surrendered to him." The Vrijavasis momentarily understood he's the Supreme Lord. So Krishna, just to satisfy them, took them to Akrura Ghat and had them go into the Jamuna. From there, he revealed to them Krishna Loka in the spiritual sky, the ultimate destination of the residents of Vrindavan. They wanted to see what is the abode of the Lord. But what did they see? A replica of what they were living in. They saw the same beautiful little Gopal with a peacock feather and a flute, and the same kadamba trees, tamal trees, bandira trees, the same Jamuna and Govardhan, all existing within the incredible effulgence of the Brahmajyoti. Thus Krishna satisfied all their desires. Brahma went on, "I was responsible for Yamaraj when he caused the death of Krishna's spiritual master son. After Krishna killed Kamsa in Mathura, he wanted to please his mother and father Devaki and Vasudeva. He told them that I will stay with you for some time because you have been suffering in separation from me. he told Nanda Maharaj that you go back to Brajbhumi,
and I promise I will come back after I just finish a little business with my mother and father and others in Mathura.
And Krishna gave jewels, ornaments, silks to distribute to the Brijabasis. Krishna and Balaram both embraced Nanda Maharaj, and fully confident that Krishna is just now coming, Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas went back to Vrindavan. After this, Vasudev arranged for Gargamuni to initiate Krishna with the Gayatri Mantra and the sacred thread. Then he sent Krishna to the ashram of Sandipani Muni to be trained in the 64 arts. After Krishna learned very quickly, he and Balaramji wanted to offer Guru Dakshina to Sandipani Muni. He said, "My son has died in the ocean at Prabhas Kshetra. Please bring him back to me, because I know you can do anything." Krishna Balaram went to Prabhas Kshetra. They went to the ocean and called upon the deity who supervises the affairs of the ocean. He asked, "Can you tell me, did you take with your mighty waves the son of my Guru Maharaj?" He said, "I didn't do it. There is a demon named Panchajana. He is so powerful. He was actually a great devotee from the higher worlds who committed an offense and fell down. But he's so powerful, even I could not forbid him from his dastardly acts." So Krishna and Balaram entered into the ocean and they found Panchajana and killed him. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Panchajana had a conch shell that he was wearing. Krishna took that conch shell. And that was the conch shell that he blew at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra. But he couldn't find Sandipani Muni's son. When he traveled to the abode of Yamaraj and blew that conch shell, Panchajanya, Yamaraj came running out. "My lord, my master has come, the fulfillment of all my desires in life." Yamaraj surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Krishna and worshipped him with such devotion and beautiful prayers. "How can I serve you? What can I offer you?" The Lord said, "Please give me Sandipani Muni's son." "Yes, yes, you take him." He brought him back. Sandipani Muni was very pleased. Krishna said, "Can I give you some other dakshina? Any other thing I can offer you?" He said, "I am satisfied. The only benediction, if you like, is that whoever hears your glorious pastimes and chants your names will achieve love for you." Lord Brahma, he said, "Not only did Yamaraj commit this offense, but then there is Kuvera. He's responsible for his messengers. Shankachuda. Shankachuda was one of the agents of Kuvera. He was such a demoniac rascal. He stole a beautiful jewel from Kuvera and wore it on his head. And he became so proud of his beauty and his luster that he came to Vrindavan on the night of Holi, when Krishna and Balaram were singing and dancing with gopis. And he, right in front of Krishna Balaram, he took the gopis and with a stick started leading them into the forest. He kidnapped the gopis. They were crying out, Krishna Balaram, help us, help us. So Krishna went chasing after him. Sankachuda left the gopis alone and ran away. Krishna said, Balaramji, you watch gopis, I will take care. So Krishna found him and beat him and killed him, but then took that jewel and presented it to his brother Balaram. But later on, Balaram presented it to Radharani. And after Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, Radharani entered into the Jamuna with Vishakha Devi in separation from Krishna. And they actually entered into the sun planet. And Radharani offered that jewel to the sun god, who later on offered it to Satrajit, who was the father of Satyabhama. And that is the famous Shamantaka jewel. Also, Nala Kuvera and Manugriva. In some Puranas, it is explained, they were not only twin Arjuna trees, but in the form of twin Arjuna trees, they even had some connections with Kamsa. All of these offenses, Brahma said, I am responsible for. But let me tell you, the greatest offense that is worse than anything any of the demigods have done. By my magical power, I stole the gopas and the calves. After Agasura was killed by Krishna, I was wondering, who is this Krishna? He's the Supreme Lord, but let me measure to see what is his powers and glories. It is like trying to measure the ocean with a ruler. What is the use? Better to not even try. Better to just praise the ocean. So Brahma, you know the story. Krishna and gopas were sitting on the bank of Jamuna. They had a nice, beautiful, shady place with soft sands. And they all, thousands of gopas were like petals of a lotus, and Krishna was in the center like the whirl of that lotus. And each gopa, as they were taking prasad, they all thought, Krishna's looking at me only. There was such exchange of love. What Brahma was really confused with was Krishna was taking remnants from the cowherd boys and eating it. The calves were taken. Krishna told gopas, you stay here and take prasad, I will search. But he couldn't even find hoof prints on the ground. Then he returned and the gopas were taken. So Krishna understood, oh, Brahma is testing me? Haribo. So he immediately expanded himself as an exact replica of each calf and each cowherd boy. And then an amazing thing happened. Krishna started playing his flute. And all these other Krishnas who were in the guise of the other cowherd boys and calves, they all started dancing. What kind of an ecstatic kirtan that was. And this is how they came into Vrindavan, all dancing and singing together while Krishna was playing his beautiful flute. The cows and the mothers, gopis, they inconceivably loved Krishna more than their own children. But that day, they loved their children with the same ecstatic affection as Krishna.
Brahma returned after a moment,
which was a year by earth calculations.
When he returned, he found that everything's the same. He was bewildered, confused. Then he saw each gopa and each calf manifest the beautiful form of Narayan with crowns and jewels and garlands, holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. And he saw the demigods, the elements of material creation, everything of the universe was worshiping each one of them.
Brahma became more confused.
Then it all disappeared, and all that was left was Krishna, holding in his hand a lump of food made out of rice and yogurt, which he had taken from one of his gopas' plates. It was the Mahaprasad of his devotee. Then Brahma came off from his swan carrier and surrendered. Brahma narrated this story to Narada Muni. See how unfortunate I am, but see how fortunate I am. I got to see Vrindavan. And Krishna, he didn't say much to me, but he glanced upon me. And it is only because he glanced upon me that enough joy came into my heart that I could still live after the offense I committed. But fearing that I will make more offenses to Krishna and his devotees, I immediately left Brajbhumi. What else, Narada, can I tell you of my ill fortune? I see no greater recipient of Krishna's mercy than Mahadev Shiva. If you want to meet a real devotee who's dear to the Lord, then you should go to visit Lord Shiva. He's the friend of all living beings. He's always intoxicated with pure love of Krishna. He has no interest whatsoever in any of the things of this material world. In fact, Brahma said, just to ridicule materialists like me, he roams everywhere naked. And he wears malas of skulls and bones. He keeps his body covered with ashes from crematorium, and he has matted hair. He's disgusted by all the pleasures of this material world. And the holy river Ganges, which flows from the lotus feet of Lord Sri Vishnu, is always decorating his head. When Lord Shiva, in ecstasy, dances, he could destroy the entire universe by that dance. And Lord Shiva is given the power of the Supreme Lord to award mukti, liberation, or even bhakti, pure devotion, to those who approach him for that purpose. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never accepts any offense from Shiva. He's always there to protect him. When the demon Tripura, or Maya, took residence in the three cities called Tripura, at that time, they actually became demoniac. And Lord Shiva was petitioned by the demigods to fight. But because there was a well that Maya created that gave nectarine powers to the demons, Lord Shiva could not defeat them. But Lord Krishna saved him. He appeared like a cow
and drank all the water from the well so that Shiva could defeat them. And then there's Brakasura. Brahma said to Narada, do you remember Brakasura? Shiva gave him the benediction. Anyone whose head you touch will crack into millions of pieces. Brakasura ran to crack Shiva's head because he wanted Parvati to be his own. Shiva was running, running, running. But Lord Vishnu appeared like a little child and said to Brakasura, what are you doing?
I'm going to marry Parvati.
But she's Shiva's wife.
I'm going to touch Shiva's head.
How are you going to touch? What will touching head?
I have benediction. If I touch his head, it will crack.
The little boy said, Shiva gave you benediction, but I have been watching Shiva for some time. His benedictions don't work. Everyone's watching you. You're going to touch his head, nothing's going to happen, everyone's going to laugh at you. You better touch your own head to make sure it works. Bewildered by the mystic powers of Krishna, he touched his old head. Finished. In this way, Krishna is always protecting Lord Shiva. In fact, all the Vaishnavas worship Lord Shiva. And even Krishna himself worships Shiva in the form of Parasuram. Parasuram, who is Vishnu avatar, was worshipping Shiva. And at Rameshwaram, Lord Ramchandra worshipped his own devotee Shiva. During the churning of the ocean of milk, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, was present. At that time,
hala hala,
deadly poison came out of that milk ocean. That poison was so strong that it was going to destroy everything and everyone in the universe. Vishnu could have eradicated that danger, but instead, he brought all the devas to Lord Shiva to worship him and beg him to protect the universe. Then by the power of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva drank that poison, showing the ultimate compassion of a Vaishnava. That he is willing to accept any type of inconvenience to show mercy to others. This is paradukaduki. The only distress of a devotee is to see the distress of others. Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest devotee because he's the most compassionate. He is Kalakanta. His throat turned black. And that is the most beautiful ornament that decorates the Vaishnava qualities of Lord Shiva. Brahma said to Narada, you know all this. You don't have to hear from me. You should go to visit Lord Shiva. He is the dearmost recipient of the Lord's mercy. Lord Narada Muni was so excited, he said, I will go, I will go, I will go right now. Brahma saw he was looking down from Brahmaloka toward Kailash. So Brahma explained that long ago, Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods, he worshipped Lord Shiva in such a way that Lord Shiva was pleased. And from that day, he became the guard and protector of Kailash,
which is the mountain that belongs to Kuvera. But if you want to actually see Lord Shiva in his true and full munificence, you must go beyond the seven layers of this material existence to Shiva Loka. There you will see unlimited opulence. Only the pure, unalloyed devotees of Shiva can enter into that place, because that is where Lord Shiva is eternally worshipping his worshipable Ishtadev, Shankarshan. You should go there, Narada.